In the most high name of the most high spirit. In the name of the most high line of Judea, Haile Selassie. In the name of the most high Duvalier and the Tantantmakut. I command you, awaken! Awaken! What happened here?
Give me a break. This is not Friday the 13th part Infinity here.
Hello and welcome to the month, 7 month end to our first 3 weeks of the new format, Gore Press Gorecast. Yeah, if you listened last week, you'll know that we took a big break in the middle.
We did, rather.
This week's sort of a wrap-up show where we talk about news and views and trailers.
And the feedback that we didn't get.
And yeah. But, like, I mean, it's understandable that why we didn't get any feedback.
I'd say so, maybe. Yeah, yeah.
So, once again, I'm Jamie, and joining me, as always, is Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
And, yeah, we're going to talk about some stuff. What do you want to get started with? Do you want to start with releases or news or what we've been watching? Or
should we talk a bit about what we've seen lately? I don't know, like in the past week, maybe?
Yeah, sounds good to me. Yeah, I've not watched very much this week because I was finishing off Breaking Bad. And then I got started on the new Dexter. Did you watch Breaking Bad?
I do. I love it.
Oh, it's so fucking good. I got really bored at the start of season 4, so I just left it for ages. And then I picked it up just now, and then I finished it all in a night. And the ending was amazing.
It was. It's one, if not the best, but one of, certainly, the best shows on TV at the moment. Best written shows.
Oh, so good. I mean, there's some wonky dialogue that I'm not too happy with, like, I am the one who knocks, and stuff like that, but on the whole, it's pretty amazing. The guy that plays Jesse just needs to get every award in the world, from going, like, sort of chirpy comedy relief to, like, crazy crack badass.
Yeah, so what have you watched in the way of films?
Well, I watched the new Andrew Niccol film, In Time, which isn't a horror film. Mm-hmm. It was kind of lame, sort of. I love Gattaca, obviously. I love The Truman Show, which she wrote. And, yeah, it was lame. Justin Timberlake plays a sort of Justin Timberlake character in which, in a world where they sort of use time as currency. You live till you're 25 and then you get a year left. And then you sort of trade time for services. It's kind of weird. It was pretty lame. It was sort of, yeah, I didn't really like it. What about you? What have you been watching?
I'm
just sort of back and forth. I've only got like 5 things and I only want to talk about a few of them.
Okay. Well, a bit late to the party on this one, but I've been trying to catch up on last year's After Dark 8 Films to Die For. I still haven't managed to plough through them all, but I've managed to watch Husk, Seconds Apart and Fertile Ground in the last week.
I haven't seen Husk or Seconds Apart. How are they?
As you'd expect, nothing spectacular. I don't know, the After Dark films are usually a pretty mixed bag, I think. There's maybe one or two gems, and the rest is fairly middling for me anyway.
What's the plot of Husk? Kind of sounds...
Basically a bunch of kind of, I don't know, mid 20 year olds driving along. I can't even remember where they're supposed to be going. It was that memorable. Bunch of crows kind of slam into the windshield and send the car off the road, and then there's just loads of cornfields, and it turns out when they go in the cornfields there are kind of evil scarecrows in there. So
that sounds kind of cool.
It's slightly less ridiculous than I just made it sound, but it's I don't know, it's watchable, yeah, definitely. But I think Dave reviewed it on the site and gave it a 6 out of 10.
Sounds quite a high mark. I mean, it's not particularly high, but it means it's better than average.
Yeah, it's worth a watch. I would say, I don't know, watch it online, don't buy it.
Yeah, maybe a rent or a stream online.
Yeah.
Hey, we got Netflix. Did you get Netflix?
I don't have it. I don't have it yet.
Netflix is in the UK.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of exciting.
It is.
Although, I always thought that Love Film... Like, because I've looked at Netflix, like, their selection that they've got in America, and Love Film has, like, a bigger selection of, like, streaming stuff. Not that this is relevant to what we're talking about, but... yeah. I mean...
You're talking about films, that's relevant enough.
Yeah, totally. It's kind of exciting. Do we really need it, though? Do we need Netflix?
We don't need it. But like you say, it's kind of exciting.
Yeah. Cool. So another thing I watched... I rewatched Tucker and Dale. Did we talk about that on one of the commentary shows?
I'm not sure we did. Did you watch that down... No, you didn't watch that here, did you?
I watched Tucker and Dale with you, but then I've watched it again this week.
Okay.
I still think it's great. I mean, it's a shame that all the jokes and funny things are telegraphed in the trailer.
Oh, massively.
There's not really much left to add to it, really. But Tyler Labine is great.
Yeah. Both the leads are. I think the back and forth between them is fantastic.
And the girl that's in 30 Rock, she's pretty good too.
Yeah.
I only just noticed that she was in 30 Rock on the second watch.
Really?
She looks totally... I don't know about different, but
totally
not the
same. Really?
Totally not quite the same. Yeah.
Mostly the same.
Well, she's just a blonde, pretty girl. It's like, they all look the same to me. Pretty white girls, they're all the same person, aren't they? That noise there, if you heard it, was the sound of my leg being stuck to my leather chair.
Just to clarify.
Yeah, I also watched Monsters again.
I haven't seen that yet.
I still really like it. I don't know if you'd like it, to be honest.
Really? Somebody's lent it to me. I've got it downstairs. I haven't watched it yet, though.
It's like if Cloverfield was directed by Doug Jones.
So why wouldn't I like it?
I don't know. What did you think of District 9?
I liked it. A lot.
Right, well, if you take all the action out of District 9, you're left with pretty much Monsters.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to watch it in the next week now.
Yeah, you should. Just watch it. What else have you watched? Oh, you were saying about...
Fertile Ground.
What did you think of Fertile Ground? I watched that reasonably recently, not this year, but...
I didn't think it was too bad. It was nothing spectacular, but certainly quite creepy, I thought, in places.
It was definitely, like, well-directed.
Yeah.
You know how much I enjoy... actually Chase Anderson stuff, so...
I do. I don't think they like me. No.
I don't think anything really happens in that film.
Not a great deal.
It's like they live in a house. Oh, it's a bit Amityville. Oh, it's a bit The Shining. Oh, it's the end of the film.
I thought it was... What? I don't know. What did you think of the Amityville remake?
I liked it.
Really?
As a remake of The Shining.
I thought it was utter tosh. I thought
it
this
was kind
was
of
better.
Creepy. Do you think it was better?
Yeah. Than the remake, absolutely.
I don't know if I say I like it, alright, but I enjoyed it. I mean,
if a film has Ryan Reynolds with a beard in it and still can't keep my interest, then they're doing something wrong.
Yeah. Does he take a shirt off? Yeah, he does. He chops wood loads of times. I don't know, I kind of liked it. It's been a while since I saw the Amityville remake. Yeah. I thought that Fertile Ground was a bit lame. I didn't really get it.
Yeah, it was kind of
well directed and atmospheric, but there was no story, there was no script.
Yeah, I agree. Something else I watched this week that you probably will want to talk about. Finally got around to watching One Eyed Monster, which I know you loved, didn't you?
I did love One Eyed Monster.
I quite enjoyed it. Yeah, it wasn't amazing. Obviously, it was fun.
Yeah.
Definitely a lot of fun. Yeah.
I love that it's played so straight. I really do love that it's played so straight.
I don't think it would have worked any other way. I think if they hammed it up too much, it would have just been cringy and awful.
Yeah. I mean, the acting, it's sort of your general slasher level rather than like what you'd expect from a killer penis monster slasher type film.
Yeah, most of it wasn't too bad. I can't believe Charles Napier was in it.
Yes.
He was awesome.
Oh, it's a shame that we lost Charles Napier last year.
Yeah.
Have you seen The Goods? Sort of Will Ferrell.
Yes, the one with Jeremy Piven.
Jeremy Piven, yeah.
Yeah, I have.
He's great in that. I really like that one line he has where he says, "I was never much one for queers, lesbians, or fucking Eskimos, but I guess that's just how I was raised." He's great in that film. He's probably the best bit.
Yeah, it wasn't a great film overall.
It wasn't. Jeremy Piven's just got some sort of charisma that keeps me going now, I guess. So One Eyed Monster, you liked it?
I did.
You liked it as much as you can like a film about
Ron Jeremy's disembodied penis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'd like, you hear the synopsis and you're like, well, didn't we just see by biology? But like it's played so differently.
Absolutely.
I really like that.
Yeah. No, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also watched Super 8. I finally got around to watching Super 8.
I still haven't seen that.
I really fucking liked it.
Is that the J.J. Abrams one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very Spielberg-y. Mm. Obviously Spielberg produced it. It's like Cloverfield meets E.T.
Okay.
It's creepy. It's pretty scary for a kid's film. There's loads of little nods to 80s sort of Spielberg-y type fare in there. I really liked it. I would recommend it.
I might have to get hold of that then.
Just last on my list, I watched Chuck and Buck and I fucking hated it. Have you seen Chuck and Buck?
No.
It's one of the guys from American Pie and then some sort of Weasley little guy, and they were friends when they were kids, and then one of them's crazy and they give each other blowjobs, and that's pretty much the whole film. It's fucking shit.
Wow, that sounds dire. What's the guy called? Didn't one of them write it?
I don't know if he wrote it.
One of them is a writer as well.
Yeah,
as
one of them. One of them's Chris White, who directed like
that's the one.
Twilight and Cloverfield and stuff. Didn't he? Cloverfield.
Twilight.
I think he did one of the Twilights, and I think he did the His Dark Materials film, Golden Compass, or Northern Lights, or whatever it was called. Paul White. Wait.
What?
Chris White.
I was thinking of Mike White. The other
Maybe
one.
I think of.
He wrote
that.
Yeah,
which
that's
one's Mike White.
The the Weasley one that you were talking about.
Yeah. What else is he?
He's written a bunch of stuff. He wrote School of Rock.
Oh, he's a Schneebly in School of Rock, isn't he?
Yeah.
Right. Well, the other guy in Chuck and Buck.
Mm-hmm.
Is the other guy in Chuck and Buck. He's he directed like Twilight, New Moon.
Wow.
And About a Boy.
Anything good?
Golden Compass. I quite like Golden Compass, I think. I don't know. I like About a Boy as well. And he wrote Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps.
So a glittering CV.
Well, Ants is pretty good. It's got Woody Allen in it.
Okay.
So yeah, pretty weird, two writery types, but yeah.
Hmm.
I didn't like that film at all. It fucking made me want to go out and never watch any films ever. Really did. I just felt so dirty afterwards.
I will avoid that one like the plague then.
Yeah. I bought it on DVD and it's like, oh, twisted and funny, says Jonathan Carter from Hot Dog. And Dazed and Confused called it a wonderfully twisted piece of filmmaking. And Empire called it hilarious. Hilarious and a true original. It wasn't hilarious, it was dark as fuck. There was nothing funny about it. It was just creepy. Creepy and horrible. And creepy and horrible.
And creepy and horrible.
Definitely all of those things. All 10 of those things at once.
Sounds wonderful.
I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. Unless, okay, I'd recommend it to people who like shit films.
And people that you hate.
Yeah, well, not even people that I hate, because if I hate you, I don't know. Just don't watch Chicken Book. Anyone. Well, if you liked it, for some God knows what reason, which is a good sentence that I just put in there, then write in and tell us. Just before I forget, like at the top of the show, If you want to send us feedback, send it over to podcast@gorepress.com. And if you want to like us on Facebook, which you probably should, then do that. Go to facebook.com/gorecast. And that'll... that'll do that. Mm-hmm. That'll do all that stuff for us. And tell your friends and all that stuff. Have you got more stuff that you watched?
I think I about covered it. Oh, Final Destination 5.
Oh God, yeah, fucking terrible, wasn't it?
It's just, they're all just the same film. I know the gimmick is the way that people die, and it's always quite interesting and fairly gory and whatnot, even though it's all CGI'd to hell mostly. But
but the second one's amazing. The beginning
was fantastic. Yeah. The car pileup I thought was the best in the best scene in any of them.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I really enjoy the Final Destination films. Final Destination 5 was terrible though. It was just like,
oh, it was better than the fourth.
Well, which one was the fourth?
Exactly, you can't even remember.
Oh, was that the NASCAR one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was shocking. Yeah.
It was all pretty bad. I mean, all just excuses for me.
For me?
Yeah. It's like torture porn, but without the torture. Like, you watch a torture porn film, you're there just to watch people get tortured. You watch Final Destination just to watch people die in sort of quirky ways.
Yeah, I don't watch it for the acting, that's for sure.
Oh God, this one was the worst, wasn't it?
It was pretty bad.
I did quite like the sort of little twisty bit at the end. The very end.
Yeah, we're gonna...
I thought that was nice.
Were you going to spoil that?
Might
as well.
Yeah, well, if you haven't watched Final Destination 5, don't. And if you have, then it doesn't matter because you'll know the end anyway. So yeah, I liked how they sort of tied it into the first one.
Yeah, I quite like that. I mean, it was fairly obvious where the hell it was going to go after that. Not that the whole film wasn't already fairly obvious, but yeah. I certainly wouldn't watch it again, put it that way.
I didn't watch the end again after I realised what was going on.
Mm.
But did they... wait. What are the words that I'm trying to say? Did they get Devin Sawyer back to play that character again?
Oh, no, I wouldn't have thought so. It was just straight out of the original film, wasn't it?
But you saw him from their point of view. I don't know, I didn't remember if it was actually him or if you just saw him from the back and it was a blonde guy and they just used like
they showed it, but it was directly from the first film.
Yeah, but they showed it from a different angle as well, from the point of view of the guy.
Well, they must have got stand-ins then, because he doesn't look like that anymore.
It's true, he doesn't. Like, I kind of figured that it was gonna, I didn't figure that it was gonna go that way, but I did notice that the restaurant that he worked for and was gonna go work for in Paris was the same restaurant that they sat at the end of the first one.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Yeah, it's called like... Oh, I remember it now. I don't remember it now. 13 something. It's whatever number keeps repeating throughout the series.
Mm.
But, So that didn't really twig. I just thought, oh, they're just sort of tying it together so it's all in the same universe. But then at the end, I thought, that's kind of nice. At least like they thought a little bit about what they were doing.
Oh, there were loads of little nods to the previous films throughout, like the at the beginning where the truck goes past with all the logs on the back.
Yeah.
And there was something to do with roller coasters. I can't remember. I wasn't paying that close attention, clearly, but there was some scene with some connection to roller coasters at some point as well. So, I mean, it was obviously quite well thought out. And
I always find that watching a 3D film not in 3D is really annoying.
I can't watch them in 3D.
No, I know, you've got weird eyes. weird, no 3D eyes.
Yeah. I believe that's the technical term, anyway.
It is. I am a qualified iologist, so... Oculologist. I don't know what's an eye doctor called.
Optician.
That's it.
Oculologist.
They call me Dr. Ocular. Yeah. So, Final Destination 5.
Yeah. And I think that's about it, isn't it? The only other thing we were going to mention was the innkeepers, because a lot of people have been talking about that.
Of course, yeah. I did watch that this year. I liked it up until the end. I hated the end. I told you this before you watched it, didn't I?
Yeah.
The end was lame, 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 lame. What did you think?
I think... I don't know. I don't want to give up on Ty West. But I think I might have to.
Bad film.
Yeah, but you know I wasn't a massive fan of House of the Devil.
Yeah, you weren't. Why is that?
I don't know. And I don't know, it pisses me off because people, when people hear that, they tend to get all pretentious and go, oh, well, you didn't get it then. You know, your attention span's too short. No, I like, and I'm talking about The Innkeepers here, not House of the Devil, because House of the Devil I preferred.
Yeah.
But I get slow burn films. I like them when they're done really well. I like haunted house movies when they're done really well. I just don't think that was done particularly well. The tension was there, it had all the potential, but I just didn't like it. I just couldn't get along with it. And it's not that I was bored, it's not that I have a short attention span, which is what a lot of people... That's the conclusion most people seem to jump to, and it's not the case. I just was not a fan.
No, it's structured sort of similarly to House of the Devil. It's very much a Ty West film, you can sort of smell it from miles away, can't you?
Yeah.
And it's very slow, and I really liked it. I thought this is going to go somewhere like House of the Devil did, so like a really cool place that I really enjoy. And then it didn't, and then it just sort of went,
there was just too much that didn't make sense to me.
Yeah,
I don't know if I was just overthinking it, but just too many loose ends, too much that didn't make sense, like he just couldn't be arsed.
Yeah. Kelly McGillis is definitely looking better in this, in The Innkeepers, than she did in Stakeland, though.
Yeah,
I almost thought
that
she was a little bit sexy again.
I guess she wasn't meant to be in Stakeland, though.
I guess not. So, are we going to talk about Ty West asking people not to pirate the film?
You can talk about that if you want, yeah.
So, if you're not familiar, I mean, it's been all over the internet. Ty West asks people not to pirate the film because, you know, he takes money away from him and all that. And it's released on VOD and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't take, not that it takes money away from him, that it takes money away from the studios and the people who'll give him money to make more films. I'm going to say, right now, I pirated the film. Because it wasn't released on VOD in the UK, it's not going to get released in cinemas here. And in order to keep up with the I guess the rest of the horror community, I needed to watch it somehow.
I'm the same. I get impatient.
I will buy it on DVD when it comes out.
Yeah, I get very impatient,
I didn't like it that
sometimes.
Much.
That's it. Nine times out of ten, if I download a film, I'll go on to buy it anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just that I get impatient and want to see it immediately.
Exactly that. That's right. So, so what do you think about Ty West asking people not to pirate films? I guess it's different to consumers in America, where they've got it, like, just all there for them. Like, they can get it on VOD for, like, $6 or $10 or whatever it is. Whereas we won't get it until it comes out on DVD. Maybe there'll be a screening at a festival. But that's about the best we could hope for.
Yeah. I mean, what he's saying makes sense.
Yeah.
I think I'd probably be of the same opinion if I was in his shoes. But...
He does at one point say that he's...
Like you say, in order...
Go on.
Well, I was just going to say, in order to avoid downloading completely, I think the point you were talking about earlier is there needs to be some kind of regulation where everything's released at the same time. Because otherwise, of course, there are going to be people downloading. If it, like you say, if it had been released, if there was some kind of video on demand that I could get hold of and watch it, then I probably would have done that rather than download. But there isn't, so what option have we got at the moment?
True that.
I don't know, it's difficult to defend because at the end of the day, downloading
it's illegal. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's difficult to defend downloading. Maybe I shouldn't be, but yeah, I do. But like I say, I normally go on to buy the films. But I still don't really understand why there is this kind of staggered releasing. Why do certain countries get it before others?
It doesn't make sense in the days of the internet, does it?
No, not now. Definitely not.
Like, there's just all this... Yeah, like... Maybe for, like... I don't know about other countries, like non-English-speaking countries, things like that, maybe. Maybe that's okay. I don't know.
Mm.
But in a country, in two countries, or even Australia and other countries, where we're all so connected, we all speak the same language, we all have fairly similar economies, we all exist in a fairly similar world. Like, we all exist in a fairly... All our countries are essentially the same country. Particularly the UK and America.
Yeah.
It makes no difference if we get a film the same day.
No. I mean, I can only imagine that in some cases they do it to gauge how well it's going to do in one country and then figure out what kind of a release it's going to get in others so that they don't lose money by putting it on at millions of screens and it not getting enough of a return to warrant it.
I think they should just treat... Right, this is going to sound horrible, especially from someone sort of a bit lefty and punk and that. But I think they should just treat the UK, in this instance, as a state. Like, we're about the same size as... Maybe it's just slightly bigger than, like, Texas or whatever.
Mm.
Like, they should just treat it as a state. So, like, if it goes across the... Across America and, say, however many screens, just pick a... An area of the country that's approximate to the same size as the UK, and then put it on in as many screens as they would there.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Yeah. Basically, if you don't want us to download your films, fucking release them over here so we can get them. And like,
yeah.
I'm not sure how much control. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm talking to... distribution places.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to buy The Innkeepers, mostly, if anything, just for the Ty West commentary track that will be on there, because...
Yeah.
Hearing him talk about the technicalities of the way he makes films is very interesting. So one thing I said to you about The Innkeepers, I wanted to just see what you thought about it, what you thought after watching it, was... I thought it was sort of maybe a period film, but like only like say a few years ago. What did you think of that?
It's possible, but I don't think it's important.
It's definitely not important.
I can see why you would say it.
Yeah, it's sort of shot.
I can see why you'd say it, and I think you've got a point.
Yeah, I guess he might have to make it a sort of period film because he throws in all those sort of throwback moments and. Sort of technical things, which makes, because he's got that style where he sort of makes everything look a bit 80s anyway.
Yeah,
that it sort of has to be. Maybe he feels like he has to make it a bit period, even though it's not. I don't know. Should we move on?
Yeah.
Should we just take a quick break and then come back with news and other stuff?
Yeah,
sounds
good.
News and releases, I guess. Cool.
Are you tired of film podcasts where the hosts exist in a constant blissful state of agreement?
I mean, the main characters are two of the dullest main characters I have ever encountered in any film.
Well, you're in luck. Let me introduce you to Chinstro Crumpunta. One is an ex-film student with a penchant for David Lynch and art cinema. The other is a man on the street. Listen, in perplexed and horrified terror, the as we tear apart one film a week.
Just really
it's
isn't.
Not visually striking.
No.
Just getting confirmation.
It's just dinging. That's the third time, though. I mean, is this on?
You can find us at chinstrokerversuspenser.podomatic.com. So come and share the victory.
If you could fuck any man in film, who would it be and why?
My answer is Lance Henriksen.
Oh.
He wouldn't tell. He looks like somebody... He looks like somebody who can keep a secret.
Welcome back. Now we're going to talk about. Do you want to do releases first or news first?
Releases, maybe.
Okay. Well, this week Arrow have released the Frankenhooker Blu-ray. I guess it's on DVD as well. I really do like what Arrow are doing.
I think it's incredible. The packages they're bringing out are just insanely good.
Yeah, they do release some shit though. They do a lot of. Some of the later Argento films.
They do release some shit, but they do it lovingly.
They really do. Like, even the shit they release looks really good. Like, do you like Hitchcock and the Card Player DVDs? Both look amazing.
Mm.
Obviously, Frankenhooker's fucking fantastic, so... if you don't already own that. Or even if you do own it, because the disc that I've got is just a vanilla disc.
Yeah, disc.
So I might go ahead and buy this. Let me see information about it. Number of discs, one... This edition contains reversible sleeve with original and newly commissioned artwork, double-sided fold-out artwork poster, booklet featuring brand new writing on the film by Callum Waddell. It's a brand new high-def transfer. This is the Blu-ray. It's got commentary with Henelotta and star James Lawrence, who I love. I do love James Lawrence, even though he's not in very much. A UK-exclusive introduction to the film by James Lawrence. The Making of Frankenhooker. It's a UK exclusive making of documentary featuring Frank Henelotta, Jamie Lawrence, and special effects artist Gabe Bartalos. There's a section on Patty Mullen and her recollections of the film, the makeup effects, and Jennifer DeLaura remembers Frankenhooker, plus the trailer. So that sounds like a pretty decent friggin' DVD
that
right there.
That sounds sweet, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll
just put
that.
A scab off my shin.
Christ. Keep that to yourself.
So, yeah. I think saying that it stars the star of Street Trash is maybe a little bit much.
I don't know, that would intrigue me.
He's in Street Trash, but he's not really the star of Street Trash.
But Street Trash is awesome.
Well, of course it is.
Any connection is bound to be good.
Yeah, I guess so. I think I'm going to pick this up. Not on Blu-ray, though. I hope those special features are on the DVDs as well.
I'd imagine so, wouldn't they? There should be, right?
I guess... Yeah, why not? also out this week is Deadheads, which they reviewed on the site. And I've watched as well, which I thought it was quite nice. Have you seen it?
I haven't.
It's sort of... it follows these two... these two zombies who are somehow fairly self-aware and can talk and don't want to eat people's brains that much. It's kind of like a road movie. It's kind of Evil Dead-y and a bit silly. I kind of liked it. What did Dave think?
Dave gave it 5.5 out of 10. He said, not hilarious, not genius, not terrible. Basically, Deadheads is dead okay.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of original.
Well, he does say it never reaches the heights of Shaun of the Dead, but blows other zombie comedies out of the water on sheer originality. There you go.
Yeah, it's kind of like a comedy take on Colin, I guess.
Okay. It sounds quite good.
And it's quite amusing to see like a guy wake up and think, oh shit, I'm surrounded by zombies. Why don't they want to eat me? Yeah.
What else is out then?
That's about the best for this week. Next week there's nothing much apart from Rogue River, which Dave also reviewed and I haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
Dave gave that a loading screen.
Yeah.
Load faster. I know I'm on Skype, right? But load faster, Jesus.
He only gave it three.
He only gave it three. He compares it to the woman. Says it's just sadistic. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Did you watch The Woman, by the way?
Yeah, I loved it.
I kind of didn't.
What did you take issue with?
The editing. Like, how many sort of slow dissolves does one film really need?
That many.
So many.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
I mean, I think the acting was great, and I think the story was good. I mean, it's very much a Jack Ketchum story. It's kind of like the only story he really knows how to write, I think.
Yeah. Didn't Lucky McKee co-write it with him?
Yeah, but wasn't it based on one of Jack Ketchum's stories already?
I don't think it was already a novel. I think it was a new story that I don't know. I thought it was a new thing that they worked on together.
See, to me, it kind of felt like someone watched The Girl Next Door and thought, I quite like that. I want to make one of those. But then, obviously, it's the writer of The Girl Next Door. So, I mean, I don't want to label Jack Ketchum as a one-trick pony, because he's written other stuff that I quite like. There's the one about those kids, The Offspring, which is kind of good, but reminded me a lot of, like, a good version of Beware Children at Play. It really did. It was very, very similar.
Oh, I love, like, the last 10 minutes of Beware Children at Play.
Oh, that's the best thing that's happened in a long time. I'll get to that later. Other releases, Rogue River comes out on the 16th of January, which is today, if you're listening on the day this gets released. Mm-hmm. Assuming this gets released on Monday.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Starting on the week of the 23rd of January, we've got Hostel Part 3, which I watched and kind of didn't hate.
What did you think of the second?
The second Hostel?
Yeah.
I like it, it's good.
Because I wasn't a massive fan of that. Is the third an improvement? I heard it was.
I don't know about an improvement. It's directed by Scott Spiegel, who... he's a pretty terrible director. He's just one of those sort of workman directors. I mean, obviously he's involved. He's got some real good, like, horror background behind him, but I don't think much of him as a director, really. There's a lot of, like, sort of straight-to-DVD crap. I don't think it's... He's definitely not as good a director as Eli Roth. And that sort of mars the whole thing. Plus, like, moving... They move the action from sort of Eastern Europe to Las Vegas. And it's kind of silly and pretty dumb. But yeah, whatevs. It's okay. Amazon has it on 3 stars. I'd probably give it about that, maybe 5.5 out of 10. Also released that week, Shark Knight 3D on Blu-ray and DVD. It's only in 3D on Blu-ray, apparently.
Oh.
Also is Red State. That's coming out on Blu-ray and DVD. Have you seen Red State yet?
Yes.
What did you think of Red State? Does that say
it? It wasn't bad. It wasn't terrible. There was some good moments in it. It's the dialogue is very, very Kevin Smith. Certainly moments of it. I don't know. I didn't hate it, but I didn't rate it very highly either. I thought the ending was really weird. I don't quite know where he was going with that. It fell a little bit flat for me.
Yeah. I didn't like it. But I mean, I guess the ending it seemed like it was going towards when that stuff happened, mm-hmm. not to give any spoilers away. Because I felt like it was going maybe towards the end of Dogma. But he's already done that.
Yeah, that's why he said he changed it, because I think that was his original plan, and he changed it because he didn't want people assuming it was going to be Dogma 2.
Kind of is Dogma 2, really.
In a lot of ways. Much. but without the humour.
I mean, there's some humour in there.
I don't think... Well, no. Most of it unintentional. There's one or two moments that might be intentional, but...
One or two
humours.
Not
a lot. Yeah.
I mean, the dialogue at the beginning is definitely meant to be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think Red State's worth a watch. It's definitely an interesting step in Kevin Smith's career.
Yeah,
I've kind of gone off Kevin Smith as a person, really.
Oh, he's a dickbag.
He really is. I mean, I can't listen to the podcast anymore. I only listen to Hollywood Babylon. But, like, surely he must get bored of talking about himself.
He doesn't seem to.
He really doesn't. He just doesn't. He must spend, what, 40 hours a week talking about himself.
That we know of.
that he records and puts out on the internet. So, oh god, there's so, yeah. Also released on the 23rd is The Woman. We just talked about that. Paranormal Activity 3, which I haven't seen yet.
No.
There's the Criterion version, a Criterion release of Godzilla is released in America, which should be interesting. Criterion releases are always pretty snazzy. I wonder if it's the original Godzilla or the American release.
No idea.
Deadly Spawn is being released on Blu-ray, which is excellent. That's about it. Interesting for that week. I mean, Toby, some of the stuff that I haven't seen. Revenge the Hunter, Cold Light of Day. Not seen any of those films. They're all released. And then the following week, the 30th of January, we've got the Shameless releases, Four Flies on Grey Velvet, which is good. I do like Shameless releases. I wonder if they've recut it. I know they like to recut some films.
Mm.
It's a 40th anniversary edition. It's remastered. Includes introduction by Luigi Cozzi, even. Recent interviews with writer and assistant director Cozzi. Audio remastered. It's a rebuilt edit, so it should be slightly different to the previous DVDs. It's got 40 seconds put back in, much like, I guess, the release of A Lizard Woman's Skin that came out last year. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, this is nice. There's an option of the Italian audio with English subtitles. That's not something you get very often.
No.
So yeah, interesting.
I think A Lizard in a Woman's Skin was out 2 years ago, you know?
Was it that long ago?
Yeah. Getting on for.
Remember we talked about it at the... It must have been because I saw it at Fright Fest in Glasgow in 2010.
Hmm.
God, that's so long ago.
Welcome to getting older.
I really enjoy that one of the actors in... Four Flies on Grey Velvet is called Mimsy Farmer. So that's our Stalker Obsession. I've not seen that. Aliens out on Blu-ray. Some other films I haven't seen. Oh, The Funhouse, your favourite.
My favourite?
Yeah, you liked that film, didn't you? That Toby Hooper.
It was alright, yeah.
Tony film. Can you see it already? I thought.
I've seen it already, yeah. We're going to cover it.
Well, that's interesting. That ties in quite nicely, doesn't it? That's an Arrowdome release, so that's like an Arrow release that's presented slightly differently.
Okay.
I'm not getting any specifics on how it's going to be presented, so I guess I'm just going to assume that it's the same as the DVDs that are already out there. Firestarter re-release, the new Thing, the 2011 version of The Thing is out on the 30th. Did you watch that? Did you watch The Thing?
No.
I quite liked it.
Really? I've heard a lot of different opinions on that.
I'm not going to say that I loved it. I'm not going to say that it deserves to be anywhere near the John Carpenter original.
Mm.
But I mean, there's some fun parts. CGI versioning? CGI thing type stuff was weird, but I mean, it kind of worked. It's a shame that they had to go that way with it, but I guess the world that we live in now. And like, there's a lot of like, it's not a remake, it's a sequel or a prequel or a fucking douchebag, but like, it really is just a remake.
Well, it was like, supposed all the major to be. Notes.
Pardon?
It was supposed to be a remake originally, wasn't it? And then because of the uproar from the fans, they kind of backtracked and went, "Oh no, it's a sequel." So basically, yeah, they were just saying that to cover themselves.
And it's got Tidy Nipples from Community in it.
I can never remember his name.
Vaughn.
Well, yeah. His real name in is. Community.
He's not ever going to be anything else to me now. But yeah, he kind of looks like a nerdy Chris Hemsworth, I think. Also, something I'm pretty excited about is Two-Headed Shark Attack is getting released on Blu-ray. Now, I'm a sucker for all those shitty shark movies. This stars Charlie O'Connell, who you may or may not know as the brother of Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was in Sliders.
I remember. And
he was just in stuff. He was just always in stuff where Jerry O'Connell was, wasn't he?
Yeah, pretty much. Just a bit of a hanger-on.
I think when Jerry O'Connell got a bit big for his boots in like Sliders season 4, he was like, "I want my brother to be involved." So, or I'm gonna quit. I think that's what happened. He's a fucking terrible actor. But yeah, Two-Headed Sharks, what else do you need? It's got Carmen Electra in it. I think we can all guess what it's going to be like.
Yeah,
I'm pretty stoked.
It's a fairly good indication.
Yeah. Let's go on to some news. I've just got a few news items I want to touch on here.
Okay.
First, there was the trailer for The Cabin in the Woods. I don't know when it got released. But I just watched it today.
It was a month or two ago now, I think.
19th of December was the last update on IMDb, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. I mean, it looks really good. You were saying before we got to recording that you looked at it and thought, "Well, I've seen this before," and then you were like, "Bowsers,
yeah,
it's not what I was expecting."
Got.
But I don't know how you would expect something so formulaic from Joss Whedon.
Well, no, I wasn't necessarily expecting it, but I think the trailer's designed to make you think that.
Well, definitely. I mean, the whole. Everything about it is designed to make you think that. It's called The Cabin in the Woods. I mean, there's all the sort of marketing it as like one of those films, but different.
But yeah, they've just announced that that's going to be the opening film at South by Southwest, I think.
Oh, that's cool. I wonder if it's going to be at Fright Fest this year.
I hope so. That'd be cool.
Are you going this year?
Yes.
I'm trying to decide. I guess it probably won't be, actually, because it's getting released in the UK on the 13th of April.
Maybe not, then.
Which is the same day it gets released in the USA, apparently. When is South by Southwest? It seems to be being way later than that. Maybe it'll be at Fright Fest in Glasgow.
Oh, it could be. Because the summer one isn't until August, is it?
Yeah.
The main one.
So, yeah, Cabin
in
the
Woods.
It starts
March 9th.
Sounds about right then, because it comes out in April. Yeah, it's about right. It's got that guy in it that I like from that show that I watched. That's got Joss Whedon doing it. I'm saying words now, and they're quite wrong. Dollhouse, the guy that's in Dollhouse.
Oh, I've never watched that. That's terrible.
You should watch it. It's very Joss Whedon-y.
I tried. I didn't like it.
I'm trying to find out. I saw him in something else that was also Joss Whedon. I'm trying to remember what his name is so I can go and look at him in that. Fran Kranz, that sounds about right. But he's in Donnie Darko, apparently. Blah blah blah, Dollhouse, blah blah blah, Toys in Philadelphia. Blah blah blah. Nothing else. Like films and stuff, but not those ones. Okay, other news. Here we go. I've got this from Bloody Disgusting. Apparently Tim Burton is potentially going to return to Beetlejuice.
Not sure how I feel about that.
I don't know how I feel about a sequel to Beetlejuice, really.
Sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I mean, Keaton would have to come back. That's important.
I'm not a big fan of Tim Burton anymore. What was the last good film he did? Like, really good film?
I don't like Tim Burton films in general, really. I like Beetlejuice, I like Ed Wood. Everything else can go suck it, as far as I'm concerned.
I love Batman.
Yeah, like, seeing him get Batman wrong is annoying to me. I mean, it's definitely Tim Burton's Batman and not Batman.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, obviously there was the sequel that Kevin Smith was due to write, Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian. I don't know how that would work. It sounds like a cartoon. But yeah, I mean, I'd be interested in seeing some new Beetlejuice if it was going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing he's been linked to is it's coming out soon, is the full-length Frankenweenie. Did you ever see the short film?
Yeah, it's on the DVD for Nightmare Before Christmas, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. But yeah, they've done full-length that's supposed to be coming out this year at some point.
Did he direct it?
Yes.
Well, who cares? Who cares, really? I'm going to look at Frank and Weenie now and see. Oh, it's all stop motion here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not stop. The short wasn't stop motion, was it? The short was a live action.
Do you know, I can't even remember. It's been such a long time since I've seen it. No, I think you're right.
Remake of Frank and Weenie, 1984. Yeah.
I can't believe we're actually having a conversation about Tim Burton and you haven't even mentioned Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Well, I was about to get to it because, like, I remember Frankenweenie being a bit like Pee Wee's Big Adventure, like, in terms of style, at least. He's not really made a film like that since.
No.
It's pretty Tim Burton-y, but it's not at the same time. It's sort of a different side to Tim Burton.
I just can't watch that without getting really creeped out by horrible Paul Rubens.
Why are you so down on Paul Rubens? He's doing Pee Wee again, isn't he?
He's icky.
Why is he icky?
Well,
child.
No, I mean, him in real life. Didn't he get caught, like, masturbating in a cinema or something?
Yeah, but not like, he wasn't watching, like, The Beauty and the Beast. He was watching porn. It was a porn cinema.
The concept of a porn cinema, I don't understand that, especially in this day and age. Why does that even exist anymore? Everybody has
the internet. Well, it wasn't this day and age when it happened, though, was it?
I don't know, it's just grim. Being in a room full of other people doing exactly the same thing is just massive amounts of wrong.
Yeah, I just think, like, if you're a grown man, even if you're a children's entertainer, like, look at Richard Bacon, right? It's a bit different.
Yeah.
For any American listeners, Richard Bacon was a presenter on a show we have called Blue Peter, and he got caught, like, doing cocaine and that, and now he's still massively famous and doing stuff.
Mostly gets the piss taken out of him, though.
I think he's a fucking dick. I hate his opinions on everything. if he says something, I'm immediately opposed to it.
I can see why you would be.
Like, hearing him try and talk about films when he has Mark Kermode on the show, I just want to just fucking batter his face in with the back of an axe. Like, so much. Hate him. Fucking hate him. But yeah, like, I think if you're an adult, you can do whatever you want, and, like, it shouldn't affect your job. It's not like he was literally, like, wanking whilst sat on Cherry and then, like, spaffing in Pateri's face. It's not like that happened.
I'm not saying it's going to affect his working life, but it affects my opinion of him whenever I see him. Subconsciously, whether I want it to or not.
I heard a rumour that there's going to be some new Pee Wee Herman films.
Are you excited?
And that would be amazing. Of course. Apparently there's one that's set in like the Playhouse universe, where all the characters have to go out into the world, because that's a really new and original idea. But it'd be really rad. I wonder if Orange Fishburne would be in it, because he was obviously Cowboy Carl. Cowboy Curtis. Captain Carl was Phil Hartman, who obviously couldn't reprise the role.
with him
being all dead in that.
He'd have difficulty.
He sure would. I love Phil Hartman. That's a shame.
Yeah.
It's a shame he's dead. Other news. Apparently, Old Boy has been pushed again. And Spike. Right. I've not been keeping up with this Old Boy remake, but apparently Spike Lee is due to direct it.
Okay.
Who
did they cast? Was it someone like Clive Owen or?
Clive Owen was cast, but he's been uncast.
Oh, has he been replaced?
Josh Brolin, James Brolin, Josh Brolin, not James Brolin.
I'm having deja vu. We've discussed this before. I know we have.
That's something worse. I don't know why I did that. I don't understand how America can do Old Boy. I mean, I know we're just talking like, oh, fucking remakes, but like, I don't understand. Old Boy's so good. There's no need. There's really no need.
Well,
and at least they haven't cast John Travolta like was originally announced.
Oh, there were so many rumours flying around to begin with, though, weren't there?
Yeah. I could almost buy Clive Owen in that role, though. But like, I couldn't imagine him being all action-y. It'd end up looking like Shoot 'Em Up. When really it should be more in line with Children of Men.
Yeah.
He doesn't do any like badass fighting in Children of Men. He doesn't like hammer a bunch of dudes in a hallway. I know that much. But yeah. Go on.
No mind.
You made a little strange squeak.
I was going to say something, but it's gone.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're not excited about that then.
Excited is
the wrong word.
Yeah, like imagining Old Boy with James Brolin. I'm
Josh
seeing a
Brolin.
Film that's not. Yeah. Yeah, Josh Brolin. I'm seeing a very different film to what Old Boy is in my head.
Yeah.
Like. I just realised that my dictaphone. My cassette dictaphone was sat on top of my hard drive, and hard drives are all magnets, and dictaphone's all tapey. So I'm just gonna move that. Thanks for listening.
I think we should wrap up soon.
Yeah, well, there's only a few things left. In fact, I've only got one bit of news left.
Go for it.
But I just want to just say, like, the film with Josh Brolin, the Old Boy film with Josh Brolin, is very broody. He's not much of an action guy, is he?
Not to the best of my knowledge. I can't think of any action films he's done.
Even like roles in other films that are a bit actiony, like Planet Terror and.
Yeah, he was just kind
like
of a douchebag in that. He wasn't.
He really was.
Action,
well, sometimes I close my eyes and see that bit where that the woman falls over with her hand in the door.
Ugh.
And her hand in the car door and just like. Ugh, shake violently. Okay, one last bit of news and then we'll get off. I mean, mm-hmm. This probably sounds pretty boring. Sony Pictures is in negotiations to finance and distribute The Apocalypse. That sound exciting to you?
Yes, very.
Yes.
I've been looking forward to that for ages.
I remember it was you that showed me the short film. Oh, so to those who don't know, it's the end of the world comedy that is serving as the directorial debut of Seth Rogen and longtime writing partner Evan Goldberg. Basically, the short film was called Seth and Jay versus the End of the World or something, wasn't it?
I think Jay and Seth versus the Apocalypse, originally.
Yeah, that's close enough.
They were originally going to call the feature length that as well, but obviously they've decided to shorten that.
Yeah. So the film... Well, the short features those two just, like, stuck in a room. It's sort of presented as a trailer, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of kind of, I haven't watched it in a really long time. They're just arguing.
Yeah, basically, just bickering. It's only about a couple of minutes long.
Yeah. So, apparently Rogan and Baruchel, Jay Baruchel, who's also in the short, will be joined by James Franco, Jonah Hill, Danny McBride. All these really surprising names that you wouldn't expect to be in a film with those guys. Yeah.
So when's that slated for release?
Apparently apparently it starts shooting in spring.
Okay, cool.
Which means either a release around Halloween, maybe, if they turn it around pretty fast. I'm guessing it's going to be fairly low budget.
Hopefully, yeah.
In terms of Hollywood. I hope they don't, like, lose the... I don't know about all these cameos and stuff. Mm. Who's Craig Robinson? Who's that? He's listed on this list of cameos as well.
He was in The American Office, Hot Tub Time Machine...
Oh, him! I know, yeah. I always thought he was called Craig T. Nelson, but that's someone very different.
It is.
Who's Craig T. Nelson? That's that guy, that fucking guy. I seen it. Yeah, that guy. Him. He's Craig Robinson. What a surprise. Yeah, cool, I guess. I don't know. I hope it's not lame. I kind of hope it's a comedy version. I say a comedy version, and actually... intentionally funny version of I Am Legend.
Yeah. I don't know. If it's in keeping with the short film, then it should be pretty good.
Yeah. I'm just worried that they'll fucking... Like, I'm just looking at, like, if they want to fill it with cameos, apparently the filmmakers are hoping to populate the movie with cameos. I just don't want it to turn into a Burn Hollywood Burn situation.
Oh, good lord, no. That would be terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Or, like, do you know what else I was thinking about? I mean, this is completely off topic, but it's sort of similar to Burn Hollywood Burn. Mm-hmm. And that's Paulie Shore is Dead.
That's terrible.
It's very similar. Like, the guy just got, like, a bunch of chums. Hopefully this will have recorded. Again, if you want to get in touch, send an email over to podcast@gopress.com. Please do. We've got... Otherwise, these sort of wrap-up shows at the end of the month will continue
just
to be
like this
boring. So, if you want to like us on Facebook, it's facebook.com/gorecast. We'll be back next week to go over Clown... Are we doing Killer Clown Month next month, or are we doing...
the Slashers.
Slashers, okay, standalone Slashers. So we're going to cover Happy Birthday to Me, Pieces, and...
The Burning.
Cool. We will see you back here next week. Don't forget to go to gopress.com. And... Oh, there's one last thing I actually want to mention real quick. Real quick.
Okay.
My friend Chloe is kind of like an illustrator / artist. And she's been doing these like film drawing bundles that she's put together. Mm-hmm. She's done a blaxploitation one. There's one called Barons of Blood, which has got a Brundlefly in it and stuff like that. They're really cool, interesting illustrations, kind of similar to the Tyler Stout stuff on the Mondo site. So check those out, they're really good. You can find her stuff at filmbundles.tumblr.com. Is that what it's called? Bundlesoffilm.tumblr.com. Have a look, her style's really good. She's selling those bundles. I don't know how much they are, but you should buy them because they're really cool. And on that note, we will leave it for this week and catch you again in the future, faithful GoPress heads. Bye-bye.
Stop talking.
I have stopped. Bye-bye.
Bye.